yesterday before we started talking about mechanisms for electrophilic aromatic substitution, the type of reaction that benzene normally can or will do. We talked about the tropylamine, I believe. Showed you the fact that cycloheptadiene-3-triene has unusual behavior in that it likes to lose H-. And I think it was that starting molecule where I had circled the two hydrogens that were that ring, and we discussed the fact that because the two hydrogens were there, that that particular carbon was sp3 hybridized, that blocked full conjugation around the ring and therefore made it where it was not aromatic. And as soon as the
perfect timing, it's now warmed up, so we can see what happens once the hydrogen, the hydride, does come off.
Because the starting material is not aromatic, but is the product aromatic? Yes, it is, because it's cyclic, it's planar, each of those positions is sp2 hybridized, and there's nothing sterically that's going to prevent it from being planar. Because of the same fact that it's planar, it's sp2 hybridized, every position means it is fully conjugated, and it has the right number of electrons. But I did ask you to generate a frost circle for this to help prove that this is aromatic. And that was partly so that you had a chance to grapple with another one of these odd-numbered systems, odd number of position in the ring. Because how do you inscribe a heptagon? I'm sure that's not a shape that you are commonly familiar with from geometry. But if you think of it this way, we did see the cyclooctatetraene case. And in that case, we had molecular orbitals that were just on that non-bonding line. If you look at benzene, that's a case we have orbitals just above and below, but not right on that non-bonding line. Well, the 7 case is somewhere right in between. And so what we end up with is 3 bonding, 4 antibonding orbitals. There has to be an unequal distribution in this case. You have an odd number of atoms. But since we only have 6 pi electrons, it turns out only those bonding orbitals are filled. And that's why this molecule is unusually stable. The reason I point that out is because I want to bring up a thought problem. Is it aromatic, what I just wrote? Is it cyclic? Is it planar? Is it fully conjugated? Does it have 4n plus 2 electrons? Does that mean it's aromatic? No. This would be more stable than another tetra-charged molecule would be, because you do have electrons in a delocalized orbital, but not enough to keep this thing from falling apart. Putting 4 positive charges would not be favorable. So this is an example of how not to blindly follow the 4n plus 2 rule. Because this does have 2 electrons. If n equals 0, that makes 4n plus 2 equal to 2, which matches. But it doesn't have all of the bonding orbitals filled, which that is the more complete way, sophisticated way to state that portion of the Hückel rules. That you want to have only the bonding orbitals filled. So they're exactly filled. They're not missing electrons. Missing electrons means missing a chance to stabilize the molecule. There are also no extra electrons, which in most cases would cause the molecule to be destabilized.
So although... although this cation is delocalized and has 4n plus 2 pi electrons, it is not aromatic per se, since not all bonding orbitals are filled. Questions?
Okay, let's return now to talking about the different types of reactions. As I brought up the Trapillion case yesterday and told you to work on it, covered that, wanted to give you this other little explanation or this example of how not to just automatically go with 4n plus 2. But yesterday we really had switched over talking about mechanism. That's where I want to spend most of the time today. So yesterday we saw the Friedel-Crafts acylation, did we not? And I said that I wanted to save the Friedel-Crafts alkylation for today.
So recall that in Friedel-Crafts acylation,
I had shown aluminum trichloride as a Lewis acid that can be used to induce the reaction to occur. Turns out not just aluminum chloride works. Iron tribromide and a few other common compounds are also used as a Lewis acid. So just realize as you read through the text, if you see some alternate reagents used for the Lewis acid, that is possible. Now with the acylation, I used an acyl halide. But Friedel-Crafts alkylation uses an alkyl halide.
For example, we could have 1-chloropropane.
The mechanism for the reaction is similar to the acylation mechanism, which I know that since yesterday you might not have had a chance to review your notes. And since it was just yesterday, I won't get on your case about that. But can you use your intuition at least to tell me what should be the first step of this reaction? The CO is going to attack the aluminum, because does aluminum have a full octet in this compound? No, and that's why it's such a strong electrophile. Yes. No, it does not. Since it only has the 3 chlorines, it's only got 3 bonds around it, so it's only got 6 valence electrons. So it wants electrons. Yes, that's why it's really, really reactive. What's the next step? Carbon-chlorine bond breaks.
And there's some evidence that this happens.
What do you think that evidence is? We just made a primary carbocation, didn't we? Do primary carbocations like to exist?
No. If you form a cation, and you really do form a carbocation, where you make an isolated positive charge, those positive charges, as we've seen in the past, can move around.
So before it has a chance to react with benzene, a hydride shift occurs. And that's the important feature about the alkylation reaction, that you got to be careful what you use as your starting material, because it might not end up being the same thing by the time the benzene ring attacks it. To finish off the reaction, it's exactly the same as some of these other reactions that we've seen, where the benzene ring opens up, attacks that electrophile. Oh, gosh. Remember the comment I made yesterday that where the electrophile ends up is not where the positive charge is. And then the next step would be for a hydrogen to be removed to reform the benzene ring. Now, there are some variations of the Friedel-Crafts reactions, and I'll talk about those when we really do a Friedel-Crafts reaction. We have one coming up in lab later in the quarter. For now, I'll just limit it to these very classic examples. So, questions about the Friedel-Crafts alkylation, or did you have any questions from the acylation that you saw yesterday? Okay, so we've had nitration, we've had alkylation, acylation. There's two more. Yes. You can imagine that the chlorine could redissociate from the aluminum. So even though aluminum is electrophilic, because you have a negative charge on the aluminum, there's some capability for that chlorine to redissociate. Even though the octet is satisfied, it is now an ion. So it's a little bit like borane. In that situation, where you could have something attack like an oxygen, but it's not impossible for it to unattach. Now, that could be a rapid exchange that's going on, but while it's free, the chlorine could do the elimination. So, two more reactions. One is sulfonation, and I apologize, I'm not being very good with labeling. This is Friedel-Crafts alkylation, and now let's see sulfonation. Which is where you take a combination of sulfuric acid and sulfur trioxide. There are different ways to write the mechanism, but because we are in acidic conditions, this way makes sense to me, that if we're in sulfuric acid, which the only difference between sulfur trioxide and sulfuric acid is water, because SO3 plus H2O gives you H2SO4. So the sulfur trioxide can become protonated under those conditions. Which can cause the sulfur-oxygen bond to open up under resonance. Which generates our electrophile. I'll just write out the next portion of the mechanism, but I'm going to do so quickly, because it's a identical copy of the same bit of mechanism we've seen in the last three reactions. Benzene reacts. And then a hydrogen is removed. And as strange as it might seem, in this case it would have to be something like the hydrogen sulfate ion that would come along and deprotonate. Gesundheit. So the product is a sulfonic acid. Benzene sulfonic acid. Boy, wouldn't it be neat if we could take toluene and do this reaction with it, because then we could make paratoluene sulfonic acid. We can synthesize toxic acid, which we will do on paper next week. We'll lead up to that today, but before we start using other molecules besides benzene in these reactions, there's some very important mechanistic patterns that we need to study. But we'll get there momentarily. Any questions about the sulfonation reaction first? Then the last reaction is halogenation. Which this particular set of reagents only works well for bromine and chlorine. Well, let me think about that. Does that work for iodine? No, I don't think so. I'm going to have to read up on that. I don't remember iodine now. For chlorine and bromine, I know it works. And it works this way. It's very similar to the Friedel-Crafts reaction, actually, where you start with chlorine or bromine. And you can use something like iron trichloride. Iron trichloride if you're trying to do the reaction with chlorine. Iron tribromide if you're trying to do the reaction with bromine. Similar, again, to the Friedel-Crafts, chlorine is going to donate into the Lewis acid. And you effectively end up with chlorine plus. Chlorine plus. Chloride minus is the way that chlorine wants to be. This is incredibly electron deficient. It's a strong electrophile. Questions about this reaction? Then since we have the time for it, I want to move into another topic that's why I was looking here a moment ago at our syllabus, and I want to check it one last time, because it says we're supposed to be talking about electrophilic aromatic substitution. We did that. But the next topic, substituent effects. That takes a little while to present, and I want to make sure that I have the time to do it well. Now, of course, there would be a way I could buy myself some more time, because when is the next quiz supposed to be? It's supposed to be this upcoming Tuesday, is it not? Well, I think on the syllabus it's scheduled for Tuesday, but in my head, I'm really thinking Thursday. I don't know. What do you all think? Not Friday, I'm thinking Thursday. I don't know. I just don't seem to be able to get my brain around Friday, maybe because today's already Friday. So your quiz is Thursday next week, not Tuesday. So that does give you Tuesday to be able to ask questions. Is that okay? Do I have a second for that? Motion to have the quiz on Tuesday or Thursday?
Yes.
Second? Eyes? The eyes carry? There's lots of eyes here, right?
There's eyes in Friday.
But there is no I in team, though. So, and this is a team effort. I have a big smile because I'm just, I know what's about to happen. Because this is one of those topics every year that I could just go on autopilot on because it's so well studied and such. It's easy to describe. But it's a lot of mechanism writing. And so I know that on the receiving end, it's like, oh dear. But it's a wonderful topic because we can easily explain with a little bit of mechanism the following two observations. If I take a molecule like phenol and I put it under nitration conditions being sulfuric acid and nitric acid, we'll get two different products. The proportion of the products we get is unimportant at this level of O-chem. The fact that we do get two of them we need to know, but no way will you need to know percentages of which one forms because it's not always possible to predict. But this reaction happens pretty rapidly, and you do get just like 90-something percent of the solution mixture will be a mixture of ortho and para nitrophenol. If we take a molecule like nitrobenzene, and we react it under the same conditions, by far the only major product that forms is meta-dinitrobenzene. So in the first case, we end up with ortho and para products, and the reaction's fairly fast. In the second case, we end up with only the meta product as the major product, and the reaction ends up being very slow. You know what the next word will be? Why? Well, shall we write out a mechanism and see? So that we don't spend a bunch of time with the part of mechanism we don't care about, I'm going to start with nitric acid, imagine the sulfuric acid's already protonated it, and imagine water has already left nitric acid, so that I have the following. At this point, the first step in the reaction is for benzene to attack. But there are three possibilities regeochemically where that attack could occur. It could occur ortho, meta, or para. To throw this word out, which I'll use more in the future, it will not attack ipso. Ipso is a word meaning at the position itself. Ipso, I think, directly translates as this, as in ipso facto, by this fact. But you can't have substitution here because we've already got the three bonds going to other carbons, and there's only the one bond that could go to oxygen, not another bond that could go to anything else. Yes? NO2 on the reagents, you mean? Like here and over there? Here? Right, but I said imagine we already let that start to react. So we end up with NO2 plus as our electrophile. Yes?
nitro. What I'm saying is, imagine we had these two compounds. Phenol, aniline. Oh, I didn't write aniline down in that list of molecules to know for your nomenclature.
Oh, gosh. That's such a common molecule.
So, toluene, aniline, phenol, any benzene molecule that has an oxygen directly attached, a sulfur directly attached, a nitrogen with a lone pair directly attached, those molecules all have the same reactivity pattern, where they tend to react more quickly than benzene, and they tend to form ortho and para products. So I did the top reaction saying, let's see what happens with something like phenol. And then I switched and said, okay, what if we had something like the nitrobenzene, or benzaldehyde, or benzoic acid, or anything that has an electron withdrawing group attached to the benzene? Then what ends up happening is the reaction slow, and you get meta-substitution instead. And what I'm about to show you is a series of mechanisms that will demonstrate why does the top reaction not make meta, why does the next reaction not make ortho or para. So that's why I've got those different examples up there, because that's what we're just about to compare. So, when phenol reacts, we have three different places we can put it. Let's write the mechanism for all three.
First, I'll show reaction through the ortho position. Now, notice the arrow that I have going from the double bond up to oxygen.
I left that out of the notes by accident yesterday. Make sure you go back and add it in. Because if you remember yesterday when we had this reaction, I started out by asking you to write the Lewis dot structure for nitric acid. And what we discovered is a few of you put in five bonds to nitrogen. But yesterday when I showed the nitration reaction, even after warning you not to write five bonds to nitrogen, I had an arrow like this pointing at nitrogen, but I didn't have the other arrow on the double bond. If you follow the way I wrote it then, that means you're going to have a product with five bonds to nitrogen, which can't exist.
So I'll do what my piano teacher used to do and write pairs of goggles over things that she wanted me to watch out for. Watch out for that arrow right there. Hey, you're laughing, but it might make you remember it. If you remember it, that's all I care about. What happens when the attack occurs the way that I've written it? Well, we end up with a positive charge right next to the oxygen, don't we? So doesn't that mean that the oxygen could delocalize? Which is favorable.
If we can delocalize the ion, that means it's easier to form. Easier to form means faster reaction. Why is it faster? Because this particular ion is stabilized? Because the limiting step of nitration is the formation of the positive charge of the benzene ring. If you stabilize that positive charge, you lower the activation energy, which makes the reaction faster. I will repeat that next week when we finish talking about this topic, because we're going to do a more complete reaction coordinate diagram. But since I'm guessing maybe you hadn't read this topic yet, give you a chance to read it before I really get in depth.
I'm not going to finish the mechanism. This reaction is not over, but I've shown you all I care about. The fact that we have resonance stabilization. So, arene, A-R-E-N-E, is a word used often to refer to an aromatic style compound. Something with benzene rings and such. Erinium means a positively charged ion from something that used to be like benzene, which is exactly what we have. We have a benzene derivative that's been made positive. So that's called the Erinium ion. Let's do the same nitration reaction again. Again, I'm skipping over the initial steps to show how I made the NO2+, because it's not important to the argument that I'm making. We could put any electrophile here, in fact. Now let's have it go through the meta position, though. The attack itself. So let's try to move that around the ring, the positive charge. And notice what happens. Yeah, we can move it around the ring, but we never get it right next to oxygen. We can get it to either side of oxygen, but it's not able to delocalize on the oxygen. Now, there's nothing destabilizing this system either. And that's an aspect of this whole thing that we'll talk about next week. But we have one case that was favorable, one case that is not unfavorable, but is not favorable either. Let's look at the last case, which is if we have parasubstitution. Now, if we make a resonance structure, try to push the charge around the ring, we'll be successful in doing so. Well, not just successful pushing around the ring, we actually get it on to oxygen, that positive charge. That again stabilizes the positive charge, makes it easier to form, which is why the reaction ends up being more favorable. So, if we do either orthosubstitution or parasubstitution, that generates this more favorable cation. If we tried to do metasubstitution, you don't get that favorable cation. And that is why with something like phenol, you're only going to end up with ortho and para products. Phenol is an example of an ortho para director. Meaning that substitution is likely to occur almost exclusively at the ortho and para positions due to the stability of the intermediate that forms. As opposed to the meta position, which is not stabilized. Questions about this first set of mechanisms? Because we're going to repeat the same story now for nitrobenzene. And we're going to use the same rationalization to explain why does it only have meta substitution. So, nitrobenzene reacting, again in a nitration reaction. Starting off with the example of attack occurring at the ortho position. I'm going to write out the full structure, oh darn, of the nitro group that I started with, yes. Oh, yes, thank you. I ignored my own glasses that I had earlier. Now look what we have at this point. There's the positive charge on what used to be the benzene ring that is right next door to the positive charge that's already there on the nitro group. Is it likely that these two positive charges are going to want to be this close to each other the way I've drawn it?
Not favorable at all.
Okay, what about the meta case? Well, we can't really tell much, at least by the first structure I've written, because the positive charges are on opposite side of the molecules. So let's show the delocalization. Well, now they're closer, but are they right next to each other on adjoining positions? No. So there's some separation. Let's scoot it further around the ring. It's still not right next to it. What we'll discuss is that having two positive charges is still not great. It does slow the reaction down that we have something pulling electrons off the benzene ring. Because why would the benzene ring want to use its electrons, which it wants to keep anyways, to attack something when they're getting pulled right off the ring by something that's already there before the attack even occurs? But this is not as bad as what we saw up above, at least. Then, of course, there's one more case, the para case. Which, once we write even just the first resonance structure, we're going to again end up in a situation where we have two neighboring positive charges. So, nitrobenzene is an example of a meta-director, meaning that substitution is likely to occur almost exclusively at the meta position. Since the intermediates formed by substitution at the ortho or para positions would be highly unfavorable.
since we're now out of time, we'll pick up with just a little bit more synthesis, but more, mainly more discussion of this when we come back on Tuesday. Now, however, the quiz will not cover anything past what was on this lecture, and because of the difference in the rate that your section and the other section's going, it's possible that this quiz may not even include any of what I just wrote about the orthopara or meta directors. Do not be foolish and ignore studying this, though, because as you can see, it's a pretty rational explanation, but it requires a lot of structure writing. And if this is just one question on the exam, for example, that means you better have practiced this a little bit, otherwise you won't have time to answer it. So any last questions before we stop for today? Yes?
Those two different groups, NO2 and the top one with the oxygen with the charge.
Uh-huh.
You've written them both as NO2, is that true?
The reason I flipped back and forth is that when we started with the fact that you had NO2 and it has its own structure didn't quite matter. And then here, we need to see the positive charge on that nitrogen to know why it's bad to have one next to it. I could have just written it NO2 and just kept saying out loud, remember the positive charge is there. Not as effective, though.
So the bottom one also has the
positive charge. Bottom one also has the positive charge, which the part of the discussion that we'll have next week is to say that regardless of where it ends up, the nitro group that was already on there to begin with is pulling electrons off the ring, which makes all three of these slower than if just benzene by itself reacted.
For the alkylation thing you did before, if there was some position on that alkylose that had a tertiary sign, would there be two hydroxyls in that?
Potentially, yes. Now, in more complex cases, you can have multiple products where there's competition as far as what's faster, a hydride shift or attacking it. And if the attack can occur higher, faster than the hydride shift, you could get a range of products. Well, yes. Is conjugation on the quiz? Certainly. So remember that we haven't just been talking about benzene, that before this we were talking about the butadiene and those molecular orbitals and all that. So don't forget that in your studies. It's a beautiful weekend, it looks like. So, of course, study, but get out and enjoy a little bit at least.